around. Many are visiting a mother somewhere in another state, perhaps another city. And just thank you for those that have gathered here today. And it sure is a privilege to be able to preach the Bible. And I pray that you'll use the Word of God to challenge us today, help us to think about what it is to be a child and how important children are in the Scriptures. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, keep your place there in 1 Corinthians 13, but look over at Matthew 19. And Jesus, very, very clear about his thoughts as far as children are concerned and how important they are. It says in Matthew 19, 13, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." And here these young children, you know, the disciples, they didn't like it. And let's all be honest. I mean, we have a nursery because young children in a service like this is kind of tough sometimes. And we've all experienced when people bring a young child in, and sometimes they can be interesting. And I've got all kinds of stories, which will be for another day. But certainly we recognize we need to teach these young children. We need to give them the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus because Jesus loves them. And we've sung the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And Jesus loves me. We think that's a children's song, but in reality, he loves us. He loves you today. Praise the Lord for that. But these disciples just really couldn't understand why Jesus, you don't want to take your time and mess with these children. Jesus said, no, he said, let them hear. These are the ones that need to hear. These are the ones, they are the ones that really get it. I mean, somehow the disciples, they thought, well, you have to have a college degree to be able to understand the Bible. Jesus said, no, a child can get it. A child understands it. And Jesus said, forbid them not. And he even made the statement of such is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's an amazing thing to say. And that's one of the things I think that is so important. And, you know, verse 14, it says, forbid them not to come unto me. You know, we love children here at Berean Baptist Church. We have for years. This church has been a ministry built on reaching children. I mean, all the way back to the beginning days of trying to reach poor children in a poor area of Adrian and groups of people going out and reaching them. I mean, we've carried that on because children can be reached, and they can actually be reached easier than adults. That's why we run buses. That's why we have a Sunday school ministry to children. That's why we have Berean Baptist Academy. Because a child, there's something about a child. When the Bible says, when I was a child, there certainly, we think kind of the negative things. And we think of, oh, you know, that child. Yeah, I mean, whoa, we've really come a long way. And yet there's some things about a child that we need to have. Even we who are quite a bit older. You know, to go to heaven, I believe Jesus is pointing out there have to be some childlike traits. Paul said, when I was a child. He said it started when I was a child. And we all know that when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, who, by the way, he knew Bible. He knew the Old Testament. Nicodemus was a scholar. Nicodemus was a man that, I mean, he could quote all kinds of Old Testament passages. And yet Jesus had to teach him the simplest truth. He said, you must be born again. You have to become like a little child. You have to start all over. You must be born again. Again, I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning would be a wonderful time for you to be saved. There is no way you could bring better honor to your mother to say to her, I am so glad I've made my life worthwhile. You brought me into this world. You went through what you did, and now I'm saved, and I now have eternal life. What a terrible thing to die and go to hell when you don't have to, because Jesus loves you, and he died for you. And so Jesus said you must be born again. And well, obviously, when you get saved, you're born again. But if you're born, that means you're a baby. That means you are a child. And there's certain things that are so important, I think, to our salvation that All you have to do, go back in the nursery. Go back in the 2 and 3 year olds. Go in the 4 and 5 year olds. Walk over to the school and go into a primary junior church or a junior church where the 4th through 6th grade. And there's some things I think that are going to stand out to you about when I was a child. There's some things that I think are true with every one of us. And I want to point those out to you. Some childlike traits. Number one is a childlike failure. Childlike failure. You know, watch a child when they get caught doing wrong. I mean, it is amazing. They really, really feel bad. And especially a child, you know, who their parents, it's very obvious that it hurts their parents and they feel bad. I remember our kids when they did wrong. I mean, they knew they failed and I mean, they would cry. They would just literally go. I mean, very rarely, I do not remember our children ever looking and going, ha, 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 made you cry. You know, they recognize that failure. And you know, a child, so often when they're small, they admit it. Isn't it amazing how the difference between a child and some adults who will not admit their failure? You know, you go soul winning, and by far anyone will tell you that talking to a child is easier than talking to an adult. And the older they get, the harder it is to talk to them because they will not admit the first step, and that is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, a child may not understand the word sin, but once you tell them it's the bad things you do, it's like, oh yeah, I know that. And if I didn't know it, my mom will tell you, I've done a lot of bad things, you know, and I've done some things that are bad. And there's a childlike failure. They admit it. They realize it. Pride hasn't dominated their life yet. Pride hasn't been a big part of their life yet. They are willing to say, I did it. Now, again, that's after they're caught. Sometimes getting to the point of, you know, who did it is that takes a little bit of time. But once, you know, it's, hey, I know that I failed. And you know, that's necessary to go to heaven, to recognize our failure. It's necessary. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We have to realize that we fail. We have to realize we sinned. We have to realize one of the, again, when you go soul winning and you talk to people, sometimes the hardest thing to get across of it, we are sinners. We're sinners. And a little child, again, the older they get, the more that pride starts to well up in them, and they get older and older, and they just, you know, no, I haven't been that bad. But it's not a matter of that bad. It's a matter of, have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned? You have to understand, a person can't get saved until they realize they're lost, till they realize they need to be saved. That's why children, it's so simple. I'll preach on a Wednesday night, and little children, you just talk about sin, and they're you know, have you ever lied? Have you disobeyed your parents? And in their mind, they're remembering, you know. They're remembering disobeying parents. They're remembering disobeying the teacher. They're remembering throwing a paper wad at the teacher when their back was turned. They're remembering those kind of things. And sometimes there might be a little smirk about that. But then they remember the paddle. Well, not nowadays they don't. How many of you remember the paddle? Yeah, it's funny how it's mostly gray-haired people. You know, I remember a real tough timeout. You know, a timeout doesn't compare to the red paddle that my parents kept in the drawer until my sister and I hid it. That was not a wise move. I'm telling you, it was not a wise move. But I'm going to tell you something. Timeout doesn't compare to the paddle. And you know, but ultimately it comes down to, yes, I failed. I failed you. I have failed. Listen, if you've never been saved today, that's your first thing you got to do is just say, God, I failed you. I have sinned. It doesn't matter what the sin. It doesn't matter. You know, nobody's pointing fingers at anybody and, oh, you've done this and you, who cares? It's we fail. We sinned. We said there's nobody that's a better sinner than another sinner. That's why none of us are any better than any of us. Amen. It's just, we failed you, God. We have to admit our sin. And you know, a child, to have that kind of a response is it's with children. Kathy will tell you, she leads people to the Lord all the time, and it's a child. A child will admit that. Have you sinned? Again, once you explain it, have you ever done wrong? Oh yes, oh yes. And yet we have folks that are adults all over the place that just cannot come to that place. You cannot understand how much you need Jesus till you realize you sinned against God. And then, boy, when you realize that guilt, I'll tell you, it was an interesting life that I had until I heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I realized all that guilt, all that shame, all that sin that had piled up in my life could be forgiven by the Lord Jesus. So it took a childlike failure to recognize that I failed. By the way, in our Christian lives, honestly, as people that have been saved, doesn't matter how long you've been saved, whether it's been just a year or if it's been 30 years, that childlike failure needs to continue to be with us and realize when we do fail Him. Because if we just kind of go on our way failing God and doing wrong and doing our own thing and we don't feel any conviction about that or feel bad about that, then we can't do what the Bible says if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us. And we walk through life dirty and out of fellowship with our God. But the way to make it right is to realize, you know, God, I failed you. Confess means to say the same thing God says. And as a Christian, I know in my life there are so many things I don't do the way God would do it. And I have to confess, God, I failed you. I failed you. And like a little child, we have to get on our knees and we go to God and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. Just like when we were little children. And we had to go to our parents. I'm sorry I did this. Mom, I'm sorry I broke this. Dad, I'm sorry I broke that. Dad, I'm sorry I scratched the car. Ugh. Mom, I'm sorry I broke your vase. If you break a vase, it's no big deal. You break a vase, that's trouble. Childlike failure. Childlike failure. Number two is a childlike fear. You know, that fear is so precious in a child. You know, the fear of punishment. And again, I want to go back to when we really punished. You know, I mean, honestly, I was terrified of the red paddle. You would think that I would have lived a perfect life. I was scared to death. But I'm telling you, I've told you the story how I used to, my sister and I used to pad our pockets. And I would put on, sometimes when I knew Dad was coming home and I was going to get spanked, I'd put on like 6 pair of underwear. Honestly, I mean, I was terrified. I remember one time putting crayons in my back pocket and they all got broken. By the way, your crayons don't get broken from a timeout. Amen. Then there was a time I couldn't find anything. I put scissors in. That was not the best idea. I had a scissor imprint there. But I was scared. I was afraid of punishment. And that childlike fear is so important. That's why we've got to keep preaching the Word of God. We've got to keep preaching that there is a hell, it is fire, it is eternal, and it is not a good thing. It's not a place where people party and where people get drunk and where you're going to see all your buddies. It's a place of eternal torment, the Bible says. We cannot withhold from telling the truth to people. There must be a fear, a childlike fear of punishment for sin. Because again, we have to have that childlike failure where we recognize we failed, but there's got to be a fear that, hey, I'm going to pay a price because I failed. I'm going to pay a price. I remember my sister and I one time, one Christmas, Mom had all these antique ornaments. And she had them on, we would help decorate the tree and it was real pretty. And Mom had these real nice ornaments. I'm talking about real ornaments of the old days, you know, that were real. And she had, we had them on the tree and my sister and I got to playing around the tree. And I don't know what Cindy did. But all of a sudden, while we were doing it, the tree fell over. And the ornaments got broken. I mean, there was glass everywhere. It was bad. And I knew, and it was trouble. big time trouble. And I was terrified. And I needed to be. Because, Dad, I'm telling you, the paddle, I still... Do you remember your spankings? My dad beat the fire out of me. And some of you are saying, oh, you know, he'd go to jail. No, that was back then before lawmakers became... Well, anyway, listen. We need to have a fear of punishment. And I'm telling you, God doesn't always go one, two, three. Sometimes God just goes like that. Amen. And you don't know what God's going to do, but everybody needs to have a childlike fear of God dealing with sin. If you're here without Christ, I wish if there's a, oh, preacher, don't make people scared. They need to be scared. I sat in church and literally trembled because I was afraid I would go to hell. But I didn't want to get saved, but I was afraid I'd go to hell. I didn't want to change, but I was afraid I'd go to hell. Well, I didn't want to, yeah, but eventually I was so afraid I'd go to hell, I called on Jesus to save my soul. Amen. And some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And there's a childlike fear. Children, they're afraid. John 3, verse 36, it talks about he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My Bible says in the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. And my friend, if you're not saved, you're not prepared. There should be a fear, and it should be a fear that would cause you to say, I need to get saved. That childlike fear, we need to see that more and more and more. And again, it's you tell a child about salvation. You tell a child about punishment for sin. And in their mind, they're thinking about that last punishment, but in our mind as adults, we kind of just gloss over it. We need to have a childlike fear. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians, back in the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. It is everlasting destruction. It will happen. God must punish sin. And our works can't pay for that. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There needs to be a childlike fear. We have so many people. You go soul winning now, or you're in the fair tent, or talking to folks about the Lord, and there's such a cocky attitude now. Well, I'm just going to go drink a beer with my buddies in hell, and I'm going to do this. And wait a minute, read Luke 16. The fella in Luke 16, the rich man, he begged for a drop of water. 2,000 years ago, he begged for a drop of water. 2,000 years later, he's not received that drop of water. Don't tell me it's a party. Don't tell me it's fun. Don't tell me it's going to be just a great get-together there in hell. It's a terrible place of eternal punishment. We need a childlike fear that God is going to deal with it. And by the way, folks, we need, as Christians, we need a childlike fear. Bible talks about fearing the Lord. Understand, He's God. He's not the old man upstairs. Oh, I hear Christians talk about that sometimes, He's just like a grandpa, always wanting to do this. Well, He's wonderful. He loved you. He loved you enough to send His Son, but He also loves you enough to chasten you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. I was thinking about a mother's love. I'm thinking about it, and my mind is going through all these things. My mom was more the disciplinarian. Now, when Dad got involved, it was because Mom really bugged him about it. Your son. Isn't it amazing? It's always your son when they're doing wrong, and you know how that is. And she, your son did this. I'd hear her on the phone, and when you get home, you need to, I've got the paddle already out, and I'm thinking, oh, Mom, be quiet, please be quiet, And sure enough, I mean, Dad, Mom would get after him enough, and he, by that time, he's really upset. Okay, Mom, bake him a pie or something. Let's soften this thing a little bit. But, as I got older, Mom would spank me, and it didn't hurt. Now, the dumbest kid in the world says it didn't hurt. Right? How many of you ever told your parents it didn't hurt? Boy, that's dumb. Isn't that dumb? Can you believe you did? Dale Stewart, I believe that. I know you would do that. I just, you know, don't tell your parents it didn't hurt. But I'll tell you what, whenever mom figured out that it didn't hurt so bad, she called in dad, and that always hurt. And I'm telling you, a childlike fear that God is going to deal with sin. If you're not saved, I pray that you have that kind of fear. I pray that you say, but it's Sunday morning, you know, we're supposed to have a good time. It's Mother's Day. There's no greater Mother's Day for your mother than for you to get saved. If you're not saved. By the way, Christian, there's no greater day for your mother than you to be right with God. No greater way. A childlike failure where we realize that we failed God, where we realize that we've sinned. A childlike fear where we realize there's punishment for sin and God is going to deal with things because He's a loving Father. But then number three, the last thing, and that's a childlike faith. A childlike faith. It's amazing, children's faith. I'm amazed. I think about children, I see things. I often go back to the days when David was real little and he would have me sit him up on the pulpit and I'm talking to somebody and all of a sudden he'd stand up. He'd say, "Catch me, Daddy," and he'd just fall. You know, you say, "Now we know what happened. You dropped him, didn't you?" but I mean, I remember those, you know, your kids just all of a sudden out of the blue, "Catch me, Daddy," and there they're falling from the roof, you know, you know, and they just trust you. They just think you somehow can take care of things. I think about my own dad after the Palm Sunday tornado of 1965, and I've talked about it, and just, you know, I think about how my dad was a skinny guy, and he was not a real big guy. He was tall, but how as a little child, I thought my dad will protect me from anything. And any time after that tornado hit, for the next couple of years, I mean, I would be scared to death. And where did I always go? Not a basement, not a bomb shelter. I always went in Dad's room and thought everything's okay. I'm in Dad's room. And by the way, it became kind of a thing as a child. I was in first grade in 1965 when the tornado hit. But as I was growing up in elementary age, it became the kind of thing that not only if I was in Dad's room, I felt safe, but if Dad was awake, I felt safe. By the way, that's a bad deal for Dad. Why? Because I always woke him up when a storm hit. I'd go in the room, and I'd walk in, I'd say, Dad. "It's storming." He'd say, "Good. We need the rain." "No, Dad, you don't get it. It's bad." He'd say, "We need the rain." I'd say, "Dad, you don't understand. It's a bad storm. It's lightning. The wind's blowing." We had a flagpole outside our bedroom area of the house. And every time when we'd have the wind, remember the windows being open? You know, before air conditioning. Well, we could have had air conditioning. But anyway, we had the windows open. And I'd hear that little clip that clipped the flag on the cord, and I'd hear that dinging. Ding, 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 ding. And the faster it got, the windier I knew it was. And I mean, I'd panic, because I'm thinking tornado. I'd run into Dad. "Dad, it's going to storm. It's bad." And you know, finally, Dad would get up, and I'd go to bed. As long as Dad's up, everything's on. I don't know what I thought as a kid. I thought Dad would go out there and say, "Halt!" You know? But the truth of the matter is, it's a childlike faith. I used to have to tell my kids, "Don't ever tell your friends that your dad can whip their dad." Isn't it amazing, kids? You know, here's a scrawny little dad, you know, and you know, here's the neighbors. He's like 6'8", and the kids are going, "My dad can whoop your dad," you know, and he's just a skinny little runt kind of a guy. You know, but they believe it. And they think you can do anything. They have a childlike faith. Well, I don't know. I think about all the children that I've pastored and I've been around. Of course, many of them are old now, and I think about that childlike faith. I have little children on Wednesdays now. Every Wednesday they bring me. I get numerous prayer requests from the little children. They just have a faith. They just really believe what they hear. And the truth of the matter is, we need to believe what we've heard from God. We really do. Childlike faith. How do you get saved? With a childlike faith. Nicodemus, you know the Old Testament. You know the Bible. You can tell us stories. You can talk about the tabernacle. You can get into all those things. Well, Nicodemus, I hate to tell you this. You're going to have to become like a child. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, now I need to have a little more substance. That's the substance right there. No. You have to have more things. You know, you have to form the hypothesis. And no, you just have to do what God said to do. That's what you have to do. You have to call upon Jesus to save your soul. It's a childlike faith, a child. And children, so many times, they will do that. And who gets criticized? Well, we do. Why? Well, those kids don't understand. What do they need to understand? They need to understand that they're sinners, they've done wrong, and Jesus died on the cross to take their punishment for them. They deserve punishment for sin, and Jesus took the punishment for them, and if they'll call on Jesus, he'll save them. That's what they need to understand. And then they need to call on Jesus. You say, oh, I think it's a lot deeper than that. And I would tell you that you need to listen to what Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. It's that person that comes with a childlike faith and says, I've sinned against you, Lord. Please forgive me and save my soul. It's a childlike faith. It's a faith that just believes. Believes that God can do anything. It's like a child. My dad can do anything. Well, I believe God can do anything. Number one, it's a faith to believe. To believe. Believe the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way. How difficult is that to understand? He made it so simple for us. He said, I'm the living water. We've all drank water. A child understands how to drink water. He said, I'm the way. Well, he's the way. What? How deep does that have to be? He said, I'm a door. What do you have to do? You go in the door. Just open the door and walk through. I'm the bread of life. You know, he illustrated. We all eat. What child can't understand eating bread? You know, it's just faith to believe. Here's what he said. I believe it. We want to dissect it. We want to tear it apart. But I'm not talking about studying. I'm just talking about why can't we just accept what he says? With a childlike faith. Faith to believe. God said it. It's true. You know, I love the children's prayer requests. I love to hear it. It's so sad we become so dignified. Amen. I've got them. They write them down. Sometimes I can't read the writing, but I kind of guess what it might be. But I'm talking about, you know, praying for a turtle. I don't know how many cats I pray for. It's hard on me, but I do. Why? Because a little child said, pray for my cat. Pray for my dog. I've got one child every week. I said, what is wrong with your dog? You know, your dog is always on the prayer list. What is the deal? You say, Pastor, you have bigger things to pray. I don't know of anything bigger. Here's somebody that says, I believe God will take care of this. I wish more adults would believe God would take care of their problems. Amen. I mean, honestly, to a little child, that little dog or cat or pet iguana or whatever it may be, you know, that's important to them. What's important to you that you couldn't have a child's faith to believe God would take care of it? Faith to believe. If God says it, it's true. Quit analyzing it. Quit studying it. Quit trying to figure it out. Just believe God. Faith to believe. Number two is faith to receive. Faith to receive. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith simply to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's like a man who is drowning and he's holding up his hand and he goes up once and twice and the third time and somebody finally grabs hold of that hand. Hey, you know, you are faith to grab hold yourself and say, okay, finally. And to be pulled out of that water and to be saved. I'm afraid so many people would drown if you treated drowning like you do salvation. Well, I have to figure this out. Well, I have to feel. Hey, if you're drowning, you don't have to feel anything. As soon as you feel water going into your lungs, you better get help now. I got news for you. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sin. You simply need to receive the gift if you're not saved today. Faith to receive. I'll be honest with you, though, Christians all over this room, God has so much He wants to give you. He said every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. He's got so much to give us. And He said this, ye have not because you what? Ask not. And He's got so much to give and we don't ask. We'll ask the bank. We'll ask a relative. But we don't ask our God. Faith to receive what He has. He will do what He said He would do. Faith to believe, faith to receive. How about the third thing, faith to achieve? Faith to achieve. Amen. Back in our text, in Matthew 19, one of the passages we looked at a while ago, Matthew 19, Jesus again is telling the disciples of such is the kingdom of heaven. It says in verse 15, He laid His hands on them and departed thence. He laid His hands on them. What's He say? He's blessing them. He's saying these children can do something. Isn't it wonderful to know that as a child of God, I can do something for God? That's amazing to me. In fact, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know what your situation is today, but if you'd believe like a child, you'd believe you could do anything. These little children, you'd tell them, you can do anything. You can do something great for God. You can do something. I don't know how many children I've said, you don't have to live in the ghetto all your life. You don't have to be poor and scramble around. Not in America you don't have to be. You can achieve something. You don't have to live a wicked life. You don't have to be on drugs the rest of your. You don't have to be an alcoholic the rest of your. You can achieve whatever it is God has for you because He wants you to do it. Amen. He wants you to do it. But it's just believing. How many times their little eyes get wide open? I can't. I remember we were talking about, we drove through Bern, Indiana, and just looking at the fields and the Amish and all that. And I remember the first time we took some bus kids from Fort Wayne downtown in the ghetto, the slum area of Fort Wayne. Those kids were on our bus route, and we took them out in the farmland, and we showed them the farmland, and their eyes were big. That's where corn comes from? That's where corn comes from. There's where beans come from. Really? Those are cows. They'd never seen anything like that before. It was amazing. And then we took them in a neighborhood, and we didn't show them mansions. We just showed them nice little ranch houses with a little picket fence and said, you can live in a house like that. I can live in a house like that. You can live in a house like that. And you know what? They believed it. Boy, some of them are now. Are you listening? Seriously, faith to achieve. Why don't we believe that God can do anything? Why don't we believe that our family can turn out? Why don't we believe that though there are trials and there's sorrow and there's pain and there's tears, that our God is able to help us to achieve whatever it is He wants for us? Faith to believe, to receive, to achieve. How about this? Faith to leave. Faith to leave. Oh yeah, the old life. You know, just trust in God. Okay, you know, hey, when a child is bit by a dog, he runs. Amen. When a child is burnt by a fire, you know, I don't know how many of you know, the stove is hot. Stove is hot. Bad. And they're, you know, they start getting tall enough and they toddle over. Bad. Hot. Don't touch. You know, but so many, we saw it. You know, and they never go near the stove again until they're in their 30s, you know. That does it. Hey, you get burnt enough, you get bit by the dog, you run, you whatever it is, something that hurt me, we leave. The story is told of the missionary who was outside the front yard in the jungle area, and all of a sudden his young son, walked out the door and there was a snake by him. He said, stop! And the boy stopped, didn't move. And the man said, slowly, go the other way. And the boy slowly went the other way and was saved from being bit by the snake. But the boy trusted his father. You know, faith to leave. When God says, this is bad for you, when God says, this burnt you, this hurt you, here's why we're going to hell. It's our sin. This is why we deserve punishment. You know, really, a little child figures it out. You know what? I'm gonna leave this alone. It hurt me. They understand. They get it. If it was bad once, it's going to be bad the second time, right? Sure it is. You know, I remember one time getting poison ivy out at Grandma and Grandpa's in the ditch. Bad poison ivy. I'm talking about bad poison ivy. And you know what? I did not go anywhere near that ditch again. In fact, I don't want to go near it even today. It was so bad. You know, we ought to leave sins that hurt us. It seems like, just like a child figure, it doesn't take them a whole lot to figure that out. Bad dog, stay away, you know. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 14, what God tells us. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Look what he says. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Get away from that thing that hurt you. Stay away. Faith to leave. Faith to believe. Faith to receive. Faith to achieve. Faith to leave. How about this? Faith to grieve. To as a Christian, to feel bad when we do wrong. When our parents are sad because of what we did. You know, faith to grieve. When our Heavenly Father grieves, we should feel bad that He grieves over what we did. We should feel bad enough to be able to say, God, I failed you. I'm sorry. Faith to grieve. And then the last thing is faith to cleave. Faith to cleave. You watch kids and it's funny. You're just standing there and all of a sudden a big loud clap of thunder. And all of a sudden, they're on your leg, right? Even if you're not their dad, they think you're their dad. That's always funny too. And then they look up, because you're not their dad. But man, they're grabbing, you know. They're terrified, but now I'm safe. Now everything's okay. I was thinking about Angela when she was three. David won a trip to Disneyland in California. And we took Angela along. We didn't want to, no. But we took her along, and she's only 3 years old, and we went on some kind of a ride that really wasn't a ride. It was more of a visual thing, and she sat by me. I thought, oh, that'll be fun. You know, Brenda said, you sit by your dad. And I'm thinking, oh, that's good. You know, it's nice, daddy-daughter time and all that. And she didn't sit by me. She was on me. She was clawing into me. She was terrified. I mean, the whole way, I thought it was kind of neat. Thought it was, you know, we were flying somewhere and you know, all that kind of stuff, and it was pretty neat. And literally, we became one. I'm serious. It was unbelievable. I've never, never, never had a child grab hold like that. I mean, claws were in the arms, and she wasn't moving. I mean, I'm trying to, okay, you know, it's okay. It's all right. And I mean, she's terrified. How many times have I thought of that when I've been afraid and I've had to cleave to my Heavenly Father? You say, well, you know, I'm a big shot. You know what? She wasn't a big shot. Your child's not a big shot. They're grabbing hold of your leg because the big dog in the yard is coming after you, know, and you're going to protect them. The thunder is rolling and they're grabbing hold of you. No, they're not. You don't care. And I'm going to tell you, we need more people to have a childlike faith to cleave to the Heavenly Father. James 4, verse 7. I'm talking to folks here today. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're afraid. I mean, honestly, it's like a big clap of thunder has come into your life. James 4, The Bible says in verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God." And look what it says. He will draw nigh to you. And it is a wonderful thing when I can come as a child and I can hold on to God. And I can do like Angela and I can say, "Oh God, I'm scared, I'm afraid," and I grab hold of him. And the Bible says, he'll grab hold of me. And I can cleave to my Father like a child, like a little child. Folks, let's understand, when I was a child, there were so many good things when we were a child in Jesus. So many wonderful things, so many great things. That childlike failure to know that we fail. To have a presence of mind to realize I failed God. A childlike fear to know that there's a punishment coming, there's a chastening coming, there's God is going to deal with it. He has to deal with it. He said he would deal with it. And then to have a childlike faith where we just really believe God. I hope today that you have those traits when I was a child. You had them as a physical child, and now spiritually as a child. I trust that everybody here, number one, is saved, and number two, that you have these traits as a Christian. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are back.